Well, good morning. I'm Pastor JP. I have the privilege of being the senior pastor here. If you are a guest, thank you so much for being with us. We really do appreciate you being here. One of the things that we say about our church is that this is a safe place to hear a life-changing message. And the life-changing message is that God loves us. He wants us to experience His love now, and He wants us to experience His love for eternity. And that's actually the backdrop of the message that I have this morning, because it's part of a teaching given by Jesus in the Gospel of John. Right after Jesus celebrated the Passover meal with His followers, the Lord's Supper, he shared some thoughts straight from His heart, because in just a very short amount of time, Jesus was going to go to the cross, He was going to die, and then He was going to be raised from the dead and ascend back to heaven to be with the Father. And Jesus knew that His followers were going to be devastated. He knew that His followers were going to be filled with questions and confusion about what His plan was for their life. And so in this section, what Jesus talks about is how to stay connected to God. And every one of these messages kind of fit in with that theme. And I want to share with you the fact that this morning, what I have to say is really simple, but it's revolutionary. In fact, as I think about it, this message literally could change the entire direction of our lives if we'll take it to heart. If we will listen to what Jesus has to say to us, this will change our life right now and tomorrow and the next day and for all eternity. Because Jesus is going to tell us how we can take steps of obedience out of love, relying upon the Holy Spirit, that connect us to the heart of God, that confirm to us how much God loves us, that reinforce to us that God has a good plan for us. Let's see what Jesus has to say. It's in John chapter 14, starting at verse 21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. You've heard me say I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you'd be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you'll believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming, and he has no hold over me. But he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me." Jesus is telling us in this passage, in very simple terms, how to stay connected to God, how to experience God in a way that His love and His peace is real to us right now. Now, there's a context to what Jesus is saying, and the context helps us understand the meaning of these words. The context is Jesus is leaving. He's going away. He's going to go to the Father. The context is Jesus has been teaching that the Father was in Him, He was in the Father, and He's going to be in us through the Holy Spirit that is not only with us, but is actually going to be in us. The context is that we're going to be able to do greater works. The works that Jesus did, we as His followers are going to be able to do. We're going to be able to do even greater works as we pray and expect Him to hear and answer our prayers out of this intimate connection that we have with Him through the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the context is Jesus wants us to have peace. Not a peace that's based on circumstances, but a peace that even is in the midst of a feeling emotionally confused, and a peace that is real even in the midst of spiritual conflict where the prince of this world is coming to destroy what Jesus wants to give to us. So Jesus is talking about supernatural life, real life, God's life in us that's real, not just because everything's working out great, but it's real because God is real. God is in us. We're in Him, and we're walking in a daily relationship with Him. So as I think about all the things that are in this passage, I just got a simple title for this sermon. It's Love, Obedience, and the Spirit. Love, Obedience, and the Spirit. So I got a couple of observations. And as I said, they're real simple. They come right out of the passage. But if we'll receive these into our hearts, it will change, literally change our lives. So here's the first observation. We love Jesus by obeying His commands and teachings. We love Jesus by obeying His commands and teachings. Verse 21, He says, whoever has My commands and keeps them is the one who loves Me. Verse 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves Me will obey My teaching. So the love that Jesus is talking about here is not a sentimental kind of love. It's not primarily a feelings-dependent kind of love. It's the love in Greek, it's the word agape. It's unconditional love. It's the kind of love that God has for us. It's a love that's seen in action primarily. It's not devoid of emotion. It's not anti-emotion, but it's not dependent upon emotion. Because see, when we love God or love other people dependent upon our feelings, on our emotions, it's like we're getting on a roller coaster. I grew up in Northern California in the Bay Area, and the big roller coaster up there is in Santa Cruz on the boardwalk. It's called the Big Dipper. It's kind of a big wooden roller coaster. It's kind of like what they have over at Knott's Berry Farm or a wooden roller coaster they have at Six Flags. And getting on a big wooden roller coaster, it starts to go up, 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 and then it goes down, 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 up, 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 down, 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 up, 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 down, down, down. See, it's a roller coaster, and that's the way our feelings are. And if we love God and love one another based upon feelings, we'll go up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But that's not the kind of love that Jesus is calling us to. It's not a feelings-dependent kind of love. It's a love that only can come from God. It's a love that fills our lives when we come into a relationship with God. It's the love that God has for us, and it's a love that's seen and demonstrated in obedience. Jesus is describing a love that is committed to obeying Him, not just when it feels good and feels right, but is committed to obeying Him because we love Him. Because we love Him. Jesus is describing the kind of love that we're told about in the love chapter. I said that kind of like that old TV series, Love Boat. The Love Boat, the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's a whole chapter about love. And it describes love for us. It describes this word, agape love. And every description is a verb. Now go back to your high school, middle school, elementary school grammar. A verb is what kind of a word? It's an action word. Love is action. This is the way the Phillips translation describes 1 Corinthians 13 love. This love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. It's not possessive. It's neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Love has good manners and does not pursue selfish advantage. It's not touchy. It does not keep account of evil or gloat over the wickedness of other people. On the contrary, it's glad with all good men when truth prevails. Love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. It is, in fact, the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. And that's the kind of love that God has for us. It's the kind of love that God is calling us to express back to Him. It's seen in obedience. Jesus said, if you love Me, you'll obey My commandments. If you love Me, you'll keep My teachings. Jesus is calling us to action. This is not a passive kind of relationship. It's not the kind of relationship where we should just assume we're going to be obedient. I mean, how naive? Let's just be honest. You look at yourself in the mirror. You know yourself to the best that you do know yourself. Nobody knows themselves perfectly because the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately sick. No one can know it. I alone judge the hearts. I alone look at the motives. So only God actually knows this. But we know ourselves enough to know that if we operate on a relationship with God that just kind of expects that in every situation we will spontaneously do the right thing, spontaneously keep every command, spontaneously be obedient, spontaneously love God and love our neighbor, we're deceiving ourselves. We know we just won't do that. So what that means is this kind of love, because Jesus said, love is primarily seen in obedience. We love God by obeying his commandments and keeping his teachings. That means this kind of love, we have to be proactive about it. We have to plan it. We have to do, as I was talking with one of our counselors this in our church, in between services, we've got to visualize it. Just like an athlete visualizing, making the right shot, making the right putt, performing the right action. We've got to think about it, pray about it, visualize it, plan it, confess it, and then act on it. We obey Jesus' commands and teaching, and that is how we love him. Now, let me break that down super practical for every person here, because I've just spoken about a principle. You can see the principle in Scripture, but how does that principle play itself out in my life? How can I leave here today and really love God? Well, he talks about his commands and he talks about his teachings. So let's take the most basic command that Jesus spoke of. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's a command when Jesus gave it. So we're commanded to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're commanded to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So when we intentionally think, pray, confess, and then act on in a given situation loving God, or act on in a given situation loving our neighbor, we are loving Jesus, because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we need to think and pray and visualize how we can love God and how we can love our neighbor today and tomorrow and the next day. Here's another commandment Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. He said, let your light shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So we're commanded to shine our light through our good works so that others might see it and glorify God who's in heaven. So when we obey that command, when we shine our light by living a life of good works that others can see, and as a result, they glorify their Father in heaven, we are loving Jesus because we're obeying his command. So tomorrow morning, I get up, I think about my day. This is what I'm going to be doing my day. I'm driving to work. These are the people I'm going to see at work. This is what's going to happen. Or I'm at home and I'm with the kids, or whatever my day is that particular day. I think and pray and plan, how can I shine my light? Because when I do, I'm keeping the commands of Jesus and I'm showing Jesus that I love Jesus. See, Jesus is the audience in all of these actions of obedience. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I have to ask myself, am I seeking first the kingdom of God? As I look at my life, the direction of my life, am I seeking first the kingdom of God? Today, in this day, in how I'm approaching this day, in my attitude of this day, am I seeking first the kingdom of God? In this situation and in this circumstance, am I seeking first the kingdom of God? Because if I am, I'm loving Jesus because I'm keeping his commandment. Or think about the last commandment that Jesus gave. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. If I look at my life and I think, I am going to obey that commandment. I'm going to make disciples with my life, in my relationships with my spouse, my children, my friends, my neighbors, the folks I meet at church. I'm committed to helping other people become disciples of Jesus Christ. If I obey that commandment, I'm loving Jesus. It's that simple. But again, if I think that's just going to spontaneously happen, that I'm just going to get up every day, I'm going to approach every circumstance, I'm going to be in every relationship, and I'm just automatically going to be obedient to Jesus' commands, I'm naive, I'm deceived. So I have to think about it, I have to pray about it, I have to decide to do it. And when I do, I'm loving Jesus. Now, Jesus said, in verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. In verse 23, he says, he who obeys my teaching. The Greek is keeps my word. It's the word for keep is tereo, and the word for word is logos. So it's the person who actually does what Jesus says, not just what he commands, but what he says. See, because Jesus taught about a lot of things, and they weren't commands, they're just teachings. Say, what do you mean, JP? Well, let me give you an example. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, if anyone would be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It's not a command, it's just a description of what it means to be a disciple. So Jesus says that we show our love for him, not only when we keep his commands, but when we keep his teachings. So if we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus, we're keeping his teaching. And because we're keeping his teaching, you know what we're doing? We're loving Jesus. We're loving Jesus. Or on another occasion, Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, he sat down opposite the treasury, and he watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people were putting in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two smaller copper coins, which make up just a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those contributing to the offering box. Now, it's not a command. It's just Jesus giving a teaching about stewardship. And he's basically saying what God is most concerned about and impressed with and pleased with isn't the amount that we give, but the level of sacrifice and generosity that comes from our heart, you see. So if we want to love Jesus, we keep his commandments and we keep his teachings. So we think about, it's not how much I give. Is it coming from my heart? Is it an expression of sacrifice? Is my giving all that I can give to Jesus? Because if we will obey that, we're keeping his teaching. And when we keep the teaching of Jesus, we love Jesus. Are you getting this? It's really simple, isn't it? So if I want to be someone who loves Jesus, I need to obey his commandments and keep his teachings. That means I just need to read in the Bible. And when I discover a command of Jesus, I need to obey it. When I make an observation about a teaching of Jesus, I need to do what it says. And when I obey it, and when I do what it says, I'm loving Jesus. Now, sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes I feel like doing it. I'm highly motivated to do it. I'm excited to do it. And other times, I don't feel one way or the other. And there are other times I don't feel like doing it at all. But you know what? I don't live on the basis of my feelings. I live on the basis of obedience. I live on the basis of, and that's loving Jesus. That's what Jesus is talking about here. It's real simple. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying it's simple. Love for Jesus is expressed in our obedience to his commands and to his teachings. And here's what happens. Because, neuroscientists and psychologists have discovered a lot about the brain. When we think in certain ways and we act in ways consistent with the way we're thinking, we create brand new neural pathways in our head. you can actually change your brain configuration. You can actually renew your mind. Who knew? The Bible actually was right. You can renew your mind to get out of stinking thinking, to think rightly about God, rightly about His will for your life. You can step into it by loving God and loving your neighbor. And when you keep His commandments, you show that you love Jesus. And you get a whole new brain. So here's a second observation. Because like I said, I don't always feel like doing this. But love is more than just feeling. It's not anti-feeling. It's just more than that. Obedience leads to a more intimate relationship with God. There's a payoff. There's a blessing. There's a reward. There's a motivation God gives. It's not just, I'm going to be obedient. No, God says, listen, if you will love me by obeying my commands and keeping my teachings, if you'll do this, guess what? It says this in verse 21, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them, and I'll show myself to them. Verse 23 says, my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Let me just tell you, this is what this passage is saying. This is why this is revolutionary. If we will grasp this, this will spiritually, emotionally change our lives. This is what it says. Obedience leads to a more intimate relationship with God. It leads to being loved by the Father and loved by Jesus. Jesus said that if we keep His commandments, He will love us. And the Father will love us. Now, someone might be saying right now, well, wait a minute, time out, JP. I thought God already loved us. In fact, I thought God loved everybody. Didn't John 3:16 say, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life? Yes, it does say that. And in fact, God does love everybody. And God loves you. In fact, if you're here and you're kind of processing all of this and it's maybe you're hearing it for the first time, God loves you. But that's not the kind of love He's promising and discussing in John 14. Well, what is He talking about in John 14? In John 14, the promise is God says, if we will love Him and keep His commandments, we will be the recipients of His love for us. We'll actually experience, we'll have the subjective personal relationship with God of knowing and receiving His love for us. I don't think you got it. God says, I love you. I sent my Son Jesus to die for you. If you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. And if you keep my commandments, I'll make that love that I have for you very real to you. You'll actually know it. You'll actually feel it. Now, let me just ask you, there's no great vulnerability in responding to this question, but how many of you, you know God loves you, but you've had times in your life when you didn't feel like God loved you? Raise your hand. Yeah. Majority of people here. Now, this is not a great vulnerable question to respond to. How many would you like to really know and feel every day that God loves you? How many would you like to know it and really feel it? Yeah, this is what Jesus is saying. Let me tell you how you can not only know it intellectually, but actually feel it in your heart if you'll keep my commandments. Why? Because to the one who loves me, I'm saying this, I will love him and the Father will love him. We'll actually subjectively experience the love that God has for us when we keep his commandments. Because if we're not keeping his commandments, we create a separation between us and God. And we just get wanky. That's a Greek word, wanky-a-o. It's just all of a sudden we start feeling guilt, we start feeling shame, we start doubting, we start wondering if God is real, and it's all because we're being disobedient. It's not that much different than human relationship. Think about being in a love relationship with someone. It may be a spouse, it may be a child, it may be a friend, someone that you're in a real love relationship with. If something goes sideways in the relationship, don't you start feeling something about it? It's like, oh man, something's not right. See, that's the way a lot of us feel with God. Something's not right. But the problem isn't with God, it's with us. So how do we make it right? So that we actually get that feeling, you know, because we've lost that loving feeling. Whoa, loving feeling. You know, how do we get it back? We keep his commandments. We keep his commandments. Here's a second thing that Jesus is saying about this intimacy that we have with God through obedience. Obedience leads to Jesus showing himself to us, because he says in John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. I will show myself to him. Jesus is making a promise here. The word is infinizo. It means to make visible, to appear, to disclose, to present oneself. So think about having, and this may be true for some of you, maybe you've gotten to know someone online, and you've never met them personally. You know them through text messages, or you know them through email, or you know them through Facebook communication. You've never met them, you've never seen them, but you've communicated back and forth, and then you actually meet each other. You actually see the person. You actually have a personal encounter. That's the word that Jesus is using. Having a personal, I will have a personal encounter with the person who keeps my commandments. It's actually the word to describe the resurrection appearance of Jesus. So actually, after he was raised from the dead, this word that I will show myself to him, it's a word that described on four different occasions when Jesus showed himself to people that he was alive from the dead. So get this. This is what Jesus is promising. If you'll keep his commandments because you love him, he'll show himself to you. He'll not only confirm to you that he loves you, he'll actually say, this is who I am, and I want you to know me even more, and I want you to know how much I love you. That's what Jesus is promising to anyone who'll keep his commandments. And that's not all. Here's a third thing that Jesus says about this intimacy that we have with him when we keep his commandments. He says, obedience leads to the Father and to Jesus coming to us and making their home with us. In verse 23, Jesus said, if you keep my teachings, the Father and I will come and make our abode with you, or our home with you. What does Jesus mean? Well, he uses the same word that he used earlier in John chapter 14 when he first started this teaching discourse, when he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, rooms, dwelling places, depending on the Bible version we learned it from. That word is the word he's using. He says, if you'll keep my teachings, the Father and I will come and make our mansion with you, our home with you, our dwelling place with you. See, he's completing a thought, and this is so cool. I don't want you to miss this. Jesus says to disciples that are going to be confused and concerned because he's going away, he said, listen, I've got you covered. I got a place in heaven for you. So no matter what you go through right now, heaven's going to be yours, and we're going to be at home together. But now he's saying, until that time, there's a way we can be home with him right now. So think about, you know, being at some random, you know, Motel 6 in Podunk, Illinois. No offense to anybody from Illinois. And no offense to anybody from Podunk, if there's actually a town. Just some random Motel 6 with some random people. how you feel in that situation versus how you feel in your home with your best friends. See, Jesus saying, I got a way for you to actually feel like in your home with your best friend, and all your best friends actually going to be me and the Father. We're actually going to be together. How do I get that? Keep my teaching, Jesus says. And that's a prayer. So Jesus is saying obedience leads to a deeper intimacy with him. And there's one more thing. Because Jesus says in this passage, my peace I give to you. It's not like the world gives. This is the peace I'm giving to you. Don't miss the context. That's not a promise to someone who's living a disobedient life. That's a promise to someone who's keeping the commands of Jesus. And because they're keeping the commands of Jesus, because they love Jesus, they're experiencing the intimacy that that prompts. And part of that intimacy is peace. The peace of Jesus in our lives. All of that is when we love God by keeping his commandments and obeying his teachings. Here's a third observation. And you got to see this, or you will walk away from this message putting it into a context that God never intended. Because the whole radical dynamic of this teaching in John 14, 15, and 16, is what Jesus has to say about the Holy Spirit. Because the reason Jesus could so confidently say, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, don't let your heart be troubled, let me just tell you, it's going to be better that I go away, you're going to even do greater works, because Jesus was actually going to be in his followers through the person of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has just said in verses 17 to 20, he just said before what we're looking at right now, hey, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Parakletos, the advocate, the helper, the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you and he's going to be in you. Now he comes back to that and he says, and all this I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and he will remind you of everything I've said to you. Well, what was the most immediate thing he said to them that was part of the everything that the Holy Spirit was going to remind them of? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fuels and energizes and empowers our obedient love for Jesus. The reason we can do it isn't because we got the right stuff. We don't. God tells us that over and over again. In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, says what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that all these righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who live according to the Spirit. So Jesus is telling us the advocate, the Holy Spirit, who's with us and actually is in us, he's going to bring to our mind and he's going to remind us and he's going to empower us to be able to take that step. Sometimes when we really feel like it and other times when we don't feel like it. But we're going to be able to do it out of love for Jesus, energized by the Holy Spirit. I've shared this with you many times here for gals in women's ministry. My wife has shared it a lot. That the whole illustration of the chocolate milk, the Holy Spirit. See, if you take two glasses of milk, big, ice-cold glasses of milk, you take some Hershey's chocolate syrup, little plastic jug, and you squeeze equal amounts of Hershey's syrup into the milk. Goes down to the bottom. You take a spoon, you take this glass, and you stir it up. What do you got? Chocolate milk. What does it look like? Chocolate milk. You taste it. What does it taste like? This glass has the same amount of syrup, and the syrup just went to the bottom. So what does it look like? Milk. You taste it. What does it taste like? Milk. Has the same amount of syrup. What's the difference? You see, this glass that got all stirred up, the syrup permeated the milk. The syrup influenced the milk. The syrup actually transformed the milk with the chocolate. This glass had the syrup, but it has not been stirred up, so it's not really doing anything. It's just in it. See, Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to be with us. The Holy Spirit's going to be in us. Every believer in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit. That began at Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And ever since then, when any time a person crosses the line and believes in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into them. But that doesn't mean he's filling and empowering and permeating and leading and guiding us. Some of us are just doing our own thing. And we're not keeping the commands of Jesus. And so the syrup isn't stirred up. Some of us are actively seeking Jesus, loving Jesus, by means of the Spirit, obeying Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit, you see, at that point of contact of obedience, is empowering our life, energizing our life, leading us and bringing to our mind all the teachings of Jesus as we obey Jesus and keep his commandments. See, when you step away from this passage, what Jesus says is, here it is. This is the simple, big picture observation. We love Jesus by obeying his commands and teachings in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. We love Jesus by obeying his commands and teachings in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we leave the results with God. In fact, that's my last kind of encouragement for us. That this is a daily prayer, a daily confession, a daily mission statement. We should be praying that, Lord, I pray that I will love you by keeping your commandments and teachings and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results with God. It should be a confession today. I will love Jesus by obeying his commands and teachings and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results with God. It should be my mission statement. Today, you know what I'm all about as a person and all that's going on? I'm about taking the initiative to love Jesus by obeying his commands and teachings and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results with God. And remember what I told you about, you know, the whole thing about brain chemistry and neural pathways and stuff like that? God knew what he was doing. Because see, if we will meditate on this truth, if we will pray and ask this truth to be reality in our lives, if we will confess with our mouth this truth, and then we act upon it, what God will do is completely renew us from the inside out. God will renew us from the inside out. Because Jesus is talking about how to stay connected. And he said, let me tell you, it's real simple. You love me by keeping my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, I'm going to love you. I'm going to show you more of myself. I'm going to come and make my home with you. And what's going to enable you to be able to do that is you have the Holy Spirit in you. And he will bring to your mind and empower you to keep my commandments out of your love for me. In the Gospels, you know, a couple times it records this story about the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee. They're in a boat, and they see Jesus walking to them on water. And at first, they're terrified because they don't know who it is. They think it's a ghost, and then they begin to recognize it's Jesus. And Peter, out of all the disciples, stands up because he's overwhelmed by that situation and the emotion of his own personality. And he says, Jesus, if it's you command me and I'll walk on water. And we all know the story that Peter took a step and he began to walk on the water for a time. He looked down, he heard the wind and the waves, and he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. But for a moment, he was actually walking on water. For a moment, he was actually experiencing supernatural life. But what was necessary for him to put himself in the position to experience supernatural life? What did he have to do? He had to get out of the boat. He had to take a step of faith. He had to take a step of obedience. It is the same for us. Our supernatural life may look different than what it looked like for Peter, but it's a life of Jesus in us and through us. It's a life of doing the greater works of Jesus. It's a life of intimacy. It's a life of knowing how much God loves us. It's a life of knowing that supernatural peace, not like the world gives, but only that Jesus can give. It's a life of having that personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And it's activated only by obedience. And empowered only by the Holy Spirit. When we take the initiative to love Jesus by obeying his commandments and teachings in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results with God. Let me pray for us. God, I pray that you'd speak to every person here, every one of us, God, wherever we are in our own journey. We'd receive this truth, and we'd love you, and we'd let that love move us to action, obedience. We wouldn't do it trusting ourselves. We trust in the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. I pray, Jesus, that you'd revolutionize every person here with this truth. Wherever they are in the spiritual journey, they'd say yes to you. They'd get out of the boat and act in obedience. In Jesus' name. Amen.